There are three states that are experienced where we say, I am awake, I dreamt, and I slept sound. The common factor in all these three states is the I. The I is the changeless substratum in which the experience of waking, dreaming, and deep sleep is being played out. While in waking, the I is experienced as movement. I am so and so. I am my name, my gender, my profession, my religion, and so on. Even in the dream, the I appears as the movement. There is a dream I, which is the cognizing mind, and it has its own attributes. While the elements are borrowed from the waking state, in the dream state, the I does not know itself as the I in the waking state. And in deep sleep, the I is in all its purity, complete stillness, complete presence, complete awareness. But in deep sleep, there are no objects. Therefore, when we wake up, we say that I did not experience anything in deep sleep. In deep sleep, what was witnessed was the absence of experience. But the I itself is the pure knowing that is ever present in all the three states. Otherwise, in waking state, we would have never known that we slept. Therefore, deep sleep is a great pointer. And if it is understood, it somehow brings to light the illusoriness of the world. So what do I mean by illusoriness of the world? Am I saying that the world is an illusion? No. World is not an illusion. But what is being perceived by the conditioned mind is an illusion. Because different mind perceives different objects of the world according to the conditioning they receive. You may look at a rose and it may haunt you. I may find the same rose beautiful. It is the conditioned mind that sees from the limited perspective, from the filters of conditioning. Whereas the essence behind the rose, the isness of the rose, the rosiness of the rose, is same for everyone. Whether you see beauty or ugliness in phenomenality, the underlying reality that is giving rise to both of these perspectives is the same. We often experience this I in meditation when there is not enough movement, when there is not enough movement, the I shines. And that is why after a couple of minutes of meditation, we get up relaxed and rejuvenated. However, as we move about in our daily activities, and as the movement of this eye begins, we again get caught up in the content. But the thing to note is that the content is not separate from the ground where the content is appearing. The ground is the being, which itself is groundless. So being is the light which facilitates the entire experience. It is pure knowing. That is why in deep sleep, you remain with that pure knowing. You become the pure knowing. And when you get up in the morning, you say that, I've had a good night rest. That rest was possible because of the deep sleep, which is very important for us. It's approximately 1.5 or 2 hours period. I'm not sure, but a small duration. But that is where we see the wholeness. In fact, we become the wholeness. So you see this path of the pathless path, this direct pointer, direct path, is a path of recognition, which is not a personal recognition. The being is the consciousness that cannot be objectified. Where we lose our way is when, relatively speaking, when I say that we lose our way, it is relatively speaking. There is no one losing any way. But usually what happens is that we get caught up in the daily drama of life, in the content of the world, and somehow we tend to forget our restful nature. And then we believe that we are troubled. We try to find solutions through meditation, through deep practices, theories, philosophy, and other contemplations. Now, all those things, they require a fixed process. Steps where one after the other you follow a particular sequence, and slowly you experience different states, and then you come to stillness. But in the direct path, the pointer is just one, that the reality is this. This here and now. Here is not referring to a location. It is not in reference to there. Here is simply here. And now is not in reference to the now of the moment. Now is simply that which illumines space-time, causation. So here and now are two words which are pointing to one and the same thing. So here is now, and now is this. And it is experienced as one's being. The perception in being is of complete acceptance of what is being played out. It is not necessary that every time you have to be in deep meditation or any practice to experience the being. Yes, we can rest our mind using all practices, but no practices can lead to the recognition of stillness of being, the awareness of being. Notice that I am saying awareness of being, but actually being is awareness. It is self-luminous. Its nature is pure knowing. It knows other objects, but it also knows itself. Not objectively, but as pure knowing. And once this is seen, the being is seen. Now notice that I am not saying that you have to see the being. I am saying when the being is seen, that means when you become the being. You see how limited I am with words. When you become the being, or when you abide as the being, or the isness, or the suchness, any word you would like to use, you can use. Then your very nature is that of restfulness. And the recognition of being brings about a shift in perception, where even when one gets involved in the drama of life, the awareness never leaves. The awareness becomes ever present, because once it is seen, it cannot be unseen. Just as you see an object, for example, when you see the salt, you cannot unsee it. Similarly, when you see the awareness, you cannot unsee it. Now, when you follow the traditional path and practices that claim to make this being permanent, that is where most of our misery comes, because that is the path of becoming. In the path of becoming, we begin with the assumption that we are not the being, not the awareness, not the consciousness. and that we have to do lot of hard work, lot of sadhana, lot of meditation, lot of chanting, in order to abide in the bliss. And at the root of that is the sense of personal identification, the pseudo-subject who thinks that he or she is doing the meditation, the sadhana, the practice, whatever it is. All practices are beneficial. Every practice that you feel you resonate with, you can do, and it will show you the highest bliss. But no bliss will be permanent, because the true bliss, the true ananda of the Satchit Ananda, is impersonal bliss. It is not a euphoric feeling. It is a very natural, very ordinary feeling of being. Or as Ramana Maharishi said, that it is your natural state. Because anything that is attained through any method, any euphoric feeling, any bliss, any permanent happiness, promise of permanency, that will eventually be lost, because the nature of life is impermanence. So seeking happiness in the impermanent things brings suffering. When we identify ourselves with the limited body, which is aging and decaying, and the mind, which also has its limitations in terms of memory, thinking, and tasking. You cannot do 10 things at one time. And even if you do, somehow, they will not be of good quality. The mind always creates an expectation. It creates an image of the reward for which it is working hard. Therefore, mind will make you imagine. It will make you imagine the happiness, the feeling that you will get when you attain something. But everything is going to be temporary. The awareness of your being is right here with you. It is just here, it is you. And it is your home. It is your refuge. It is your place of rest. No matter how turbulent your mind is, no matter the overwhelm or what emotions you are experiencing at this moment, you are eventually going to rest in this very natural state, which is your being, the light of I that shines, that illumines the body, the mind. The child, the newborn child, is with the I that is not aware of itself as the pristine awareness. But the child does not have any concept. Therefore, you will always notice spontaneity in children. The highest creativity in children, the eagerness to explore, to learn. Whereas we grown-ups, we become close-minded. We think that our theories, our philosophies, our teachings are the only teachings in the world that are best. And then we try to apply the teaching to become better, to become more worthy, because we are told that we are unworthy and that we need to achieve something material, spiritual, or anything to become worthy. And the mind lives with that thought, and the mind chases that. So mind creates images of the future self. And there is a separation imagined between the image and the wholeness. The mind also objectifies the wholeness. It wants to reduce the consciousness because it wants to experience consciousness as an object of its experience. But that will never happen. Any attempt to experience consciousness as an object will bring suffering, because mind is too limited a tool, a creation of that consciousness. Therefore, it cannot lead to consciousness. But when the recognition of wholeness happens, what happens at the level of the mind becomes irrelevant. Because then there is no central agency which is holding on to concepts, ideas, philosophies. There is no central character which is trying to manage itself or enhance itself. There is a complete acceptance of what is. And body-mind organism is seen as one of the instruments of nature, along with many other. The mind-body organism, by its very nature, is peaceful. It acts and reacts according to its conditioning. There is nothing right or wrong about it. But the moment we create ideas about right and wrong, that is where we create divisions. We have created divisions in religions. We have created divisions in every field of life. There is a division happening in your home right now. The division of ideas, the division of opinions, where everybody is hell-bent on proving themselves right. And that is the false I, the ego, which is not interested in its liberation. It is only interested in expanding and enhancing itself. And that is the illusion or the cosmic joke. The illusory entity trying to free itself from illusion within illusion. The more you try to objectify the pure awareness, the source, the consciousness, the more separation you create with it. Therefore, this path points directly to the truth and says that whatever is here and now, that alone is. The character, with its finite mind, will continue to do practices, to live his or her life according to whatever conditioning they have received. But at the same time, all of this happens within the recognition of that awareness, which never changes. The eye that shines in you and powers this mind-body organism that is speaking to you is the same I which powers you. Yes, in appearance we are different. At the level of mind, we are different. You may agree with me or disagree with me. But the very capacity to agree or to disagree or to feel or to emote or to feel sensations that is same for you and for me. For the false I, the ego, even the suffering is same in both the cases, in every case, I would say. Yes, your content, your life situations may be different than mine, but the underlying experience of emptiness that all of us face when the reality of the pure consciousness eludes us, that is the same for all of us. That is what makes us restless. That is what makes us want to do something about the situation. And that is why we run to psychologists, psychotherapists, philosophers, spiritual teachers, non-dualists, and so on and so forth. What is the nature of this entity that is trying to find a solution to the problems? What is the reality of this entity? Is this entity real? Is this entity ever present? Is this entity changeless? Now you can see directly from your own experience that your own image keeps changing with time. The way you saw the world when you were a child is very different from the way you see the world now. You believed that you were a significant part of this whole structure of life and that you had to do something, play your part in order to be worthy. So you went on a mission to change the world, to become a better, worthy human being. You were assigned responsibilities and you kept fighting no matter how uncomfortable it was. You kept fighting. Even now, you are fighting. Not knowing your own nature, identifying with this false self, you are swimming against the tide, against the flow of river. But what happens when you give up? Give up does not mean inaction. Give up does not mean fatalism. Give up does not mean that I am at the mercy of the powers of the world and that I will not do anything. I will not act. Your body, your mind has been designed to flow. That is why the eye flows in different directions. That is how the life interactions happen. So it is not about inaction, but the surrender is the understanding that whatever is happening in this very moment, there is no self which is at the root of it. Everything is simply an arising. So, let's say when you are working, and doubt arises in your mind. If you believe in the false self, if you believe yourself to be the limited entity, then you create doubt about your work. Then you become skeptical about your capabilities. There is an inner chatter, the negative inner chatter, which is fueled by that sense. And you get completely absorbed in that. So a lot of energy is wasted in thinking, useless ruminations. What will people think of me? Will my work be appreciated or not? But when the thinking mind dissolves, it is then that the working mind springs into action. Now, there is no such distinction in reality as a working mind and a thinking mind. But this is just to offer a conceptual explanation. It is the same mind. But when working mind comes into the picture, that mind is completely engrossed in work. And then there is a complete surrender with the sensation, with the feeling that I will do the best to my capacity, but the result is not in my control. The thinking mind is all about control, whereas the working mind is all about action. Therefore, to give up is not an attitude of resignation, but it is a recognition that despite all actions, that despite doing everything in your capacity, sometimes things will not go the way we want them to go. But when we are so caught up with our goal, material goal or spiritual goal, and we are seeking happiness in the fulfillment of that goal in horizontal time, that is where our suffering begins. Because no fulfillment of any goal will ever bring any happiness other than recognition of one's own nature. That is the only place of restfulness, which is always here and now, because it never leaves. The consciousness and its content are one. When this is recognized, the goals may still come to you, to the character. You may still work towards your goals. It's not that you will abandon your goals, but they will be no urgency, there will be no restlessness about it. You will move in a relaxed and calm manner, and that itself brings out the highest creativity. That is when your senses, your mind will work at its optimal. Because it is the impersonal energy which is flowing through the mind-body instrument. And the mind-body instrument is simply allowing this energy to flow as creativity, as art. You may have heard many people say that when they practice art, they become the art. The dancer becomes the dance. The painter becomes the painting. There is a complete immersion into the work without worrying about how the art will be perceived by others. Therefore, I say that embrace life and live your life fully, because it is not you who are living life. Life is being lived through you. And the false I is only there so that this interaction can happen with life, with people, with different objects. It is a requirement of multiplicity. That's why the source, the pure awareness, creates, or let's say appears as the multiplicity. But the awareness is not separate from what is. In fact, what is, the awareness is the light which is illuminating what is. And the being shines as the witness, the unaffected witness of the phenomenal world. So it does not discriminate things as good or bad, beautiful or ugly, moral, immoral. Those are human concepts which keep changing with time. Words do not do justice to this. Words, concepts, thoughts, they're very limited. But still, since that is what we have, that is what we do with, make do with. When the recognition of consciousness happens, when the recognition of our own being happens, the happiness in the objects of the world begins to dissolve, because the objects are then not perceived as extremely solid or changeless. Their impermanent nature is revealed. It is understood that mind is creating a fantasy for an object, but even when the fulfillment of the object happens, the mind will simply not be satisfied and will move to some other object. That is the nature of mind. It is never satisfied with one theory, with one teaching, with one person. It wants to move from one thing to another thing. It wants to experience this, experience that, in the hope of complete fulfillment. And we are not offering any resistance to mind. We are simply examining the nature of mind. We are not to control the mind. This path, the direct pointer to reality, says there is no mind, so there is nothing to control. So trying to control an illusion itself is an illusion. It's a propagation of illusion. And there are a lot of teaching that talk about mind control. In some cases, trying to control the mind can lead to insanity, because in appearances, in duality, we are limited by the body. Mind can think infinitely. Mind can create the greatest imagination. But body has limitations. So if we overload our mind with excessive thinking, with grandiose ideas about life, then the body has to bear the brunt of that. That is the expenditure, the cost the body pays as stress, anxiety, depression, and so on. But when we understand the impermanent nature of mind, we see that it is actually not there. There is only this awareness which is appearing as the mind, as the body, as the object, as me and the rest of the world. But when the sense of me dissolves, this false I, it becomes just another object amongst many. And that is the direct, undistorted perception of what is. The mind is always caught up in what should and should not be. That is why today we have so many people giving so much advice about how life should be, how you should be, how you should not be, what you should do, what you should not do. This message does not talk about that. It does not tell you what to do, what not to do, how to be, how not to be. It just simply says, be. There is no way to be. Sometimes the instruction abide in the being comes across as dualistic. But abidance itself is being. Just be the way you are does not mean to be the way you imagine yourself to be. Just be means simply be here and now, present. And be the awareness where the content comes up. So we are not offering any resistance to any thought. We are not labeling it as good or bad, desirable or undesirable. We are simply watching. And in this watching, what is false will itself, by itself, dissolve into the very awareness. The awareness that is the ground, the source and the substance of everything known, unknown. But itself, it is unknowable. The awareness itself cannot be objectified. And that is why the teacher, Atmananda, Krishna Menon, said that be careful when you use the words which are given in scriptures like I am Brahman. Because Brahman means vast, vastness. So Brahman is actually an object imagined in the mind as something big, something infinite. So something which is dimensionless, we are giving it a dimension by sizing it. And usually the reference point is our own size. So we think universe is big because we are small. An atom is small because we are big. So we take our size to be the reference size. But there is no this, there is no I, we, there is no me. There is body, there is mind, but there is no me. So today we touched on the nature of I, the nature of consciousness or being. And we touched a little bit in the end on witnessing, which we will discuss in the next part.